Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and everyone this morning. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to each and everyone this morning. Beautiful Lord's Day morning out there as the sun comes up so bright. We're fortunate. Our house sits in a right angle for the sun just comes right up and comes right in our back sliding doors there to our house. And man, it just fills our sitting room full of sun morning after morning, you know. In fact, I hate to say it, but I had to have Maxine to turn the shades a little bit because I couldn't see my book, you know, and read. So I had need to change. But God is so good and blesses so wonderfully. And this is a great day. And we welcome you. You know, I have to apologize. Where's Sierra? There she is. You know, I hope you didn't take that I was calling her a mountain woman. You know, when I spoke the other day, I said, well, there's Sierra back there. But I have to remember, you know, I try to associate names, and that's the way I associate Sierra with the mountain, you know, and that's what I meant. Somebody would be, take that as a insult, you know, if you call the mountain woman or mountain man, it's not the way I meant that. But she's my mountain woman. All right. Speaking of the sun, the brightness of the sun, how many of you Friday night saw that gigantic moon? The last 2 months we've been out here, there has been the biggest moon. And a month ago, looked like it was right over there by the station. It just looked like it was on a signpost over there. Tremendous, great big moon. And so when Maxine said, what's that light, you know? And we did. So when we got over there, then what you see is on over there. And so Friday night when we left there, it looked like it was just, Vicki, it looked like it set right over your house. I mean, it looked like it was sitting right there. But when we got there, it was way over there somewhere. And it's wonderful to see that. But, you know, how great, you know, when you come here this morning, do you ever think of the greatness of God? How great do you picture God to be? When you see the moon and so forth, does that do anything for you to realize the greatness of God? You know, it's really something to me. And I try to think some things, different things, and be reminded when I see things and of how great God. We sing that song, How Great Thou Art. And I wonder, you know, when we come to worship here this morning, what's in our mind? What are we thinking about? The greatness of God. How great do we think that He is and so forth? You know, I believe it's Isaiah in chapter 40, I think, in verse 12. It says that, speaking of God, it said, who holds, what, speaking of the oceans, rivers, and lakes, and it says, who holds the waters in the palm of His hand and mets out the heavens with a span. You know what a span is? A span is from this point to that point. And He measures the waters in the palm of His hand, and He mets out or measures out the heavens with a span. And then I believe it's Deuteronomy, 33:27 or something like that, you can find it. But He speaks of Him, and it says that the eternal God is our refuge. And beneath is His everlasting arms. Now, to give you, if you don't mind, just a little thing of how great God is. Speaking of the moon is 250,000 miles from Earth. Now, if there was a pathway, a walkway, from Earth to the moon, and if you walk 24 miles a day, which is average walking distance for man, you could get from Earth to the moon in 27 years. Now, if you wanted to get there a little quicker, and if you could find a supersonic jet, or get NASA to shoot you out in a, what do you call those? Boom thing. Whatever, if it would travel the speed of light, 386 miles per second. You could get to the moon in 1.5 seconds. And if you wanted to go to Venus, 2 minutes and 18 seconds. Traveling at the speed of light, 186 miles per second. Jupiter, 38 minutes and 11 seconds. If you wanted to get to Venus, 4.5 months. And if you wanted to go to the nearest star, traveling at 186,000 miles per second, that star would be Alpha Centauri. It would take you 4.3 years. Now, while you're out there, you might say, I just want to see the whole Milky Way galaxy. And if you traveled from one side of the galaxy of Milky Way galaxy to the other, it would only take you 100,000 years. And when you get to the edge of the Milky Way, you haven't even left the front yard of the universe. There's millions of, what do you call them?
Galaxies.
Yeah, out there. Billions of them. And Isaiah says, he measures the water in the palm of his hand and measures out this with a span. And he has beneath you the everlasting arms. How great is our God. Let's praise him for it.
For him and worship this morning, we're using 190-169. I'm singing the first and third and virtual as I have a prayer. It's over.
Love and forgiveness. And we come this morning to thank you for that love and ask for forgiveness.
we fail you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now for communion, I'm using number 197, sing the first and third verse.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praise to my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, always at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song. Praise
Father in heaven, we thank you again for this opportunity you granted us together in your house on the Lord's day. As we bring back a portion unto thee, pray now for the gift and the giver of building thy kingdom. These words we ask in thy name. Amen.
Well, Friday night we celebrated two birthdays, and that was Pauline Cook's birthday and Debbie Cox's birthday. Debbie's not here this morning, so we don't get to sing happy birthday to her. Anybody who's here on the Lord's Day and His birthday, why, we sing happy birthday to Him. But we had a good time. I won't go into telling you how good Friday night was, because it would make you feel so bad that you weren't there. Probably just look at the picture that Robert probably put on the album, and you will know. Well, let's see. Anybody coming to Bible study tonight, 5 o'clock? Next week, the time changes, so be sure. Charles, be sure to set your clock next week. You know, Charles, one year Charles forgot to set his clock. And he got here early. But it's better to be early, Charles, than late. Amen. All right. Time change, next Saturday night, yeah. Okay, what else is happening? We are just now a few weeks from Resurrection Sunday, and so keep that in your prayers, keep it in your mind, and as far as I know, we'll probably use the same format that we use. Hopefully we'll change some things around, and so be in prayer for that. That is a good time of the year. I know there's a lot of pros and cons about days and all that stuff, but don't worry about all that. We know this, that our Lord was crucified. He was nailed to a cross, paid the penalty for our sins. And whatever day, we're going to celebrate the fact and rejoice in the fact that we have a Savior like that. And so we'll be doing that there the last Friday of this month, then first of day of April. Or last Friday, yeah, that's the way it is. The first part of April. Okay, What else is taking place? Anything that I knew? I had a couple things. I rushed into the kitchen area and I wanted to write them on my bulletin, and by the time I got a drink and got back, I forgot them. Isn't that awful? Do you do that, Omer? You ever do that? Before you get out of the living room or the kitchen, you forgot what you got. That's like the old lady, you know. See, the preacher said to you, do you believe in the hereafter? Yeah, she said. I go up to the attic often, and I come back up, and when I get up there, I have to ask myself, what am I hereafter? See, we do that kind of thing. All right, so it remind me if it's something that should have been important. But here's one thing. Doodle would like for you, and maybe doodle this might be the best way to do it, if you will. But anyhow, the lookout back there has changed and so forth, which, that I don't know why and what. But anyhow, what Doodle would like to know is how many would like to continue keeping the lookout, if you will let him know. And the reason for that, because we've had, seems like we've had it half a dozen or so pile up back there that nobody's taking. And those are a little bit expensive, but we don't mind that. If you enjoy reading them, they're beneficial to you, we want you to have it. So if you will, please, tell Doodle that you'd like to keep having that, so that Doodle then will know how many to order. Will you do that, please, and help him out with that? And let's see, something else. What else was it? Am I forgetting something that's everything's important to this good people here, but okay. All right, then let's look at our prayer list here. And I assume this Chris Swoop, is that kin to Debbie Cox?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Didn't know who that was, so that is that's probably why Debbie's absent this morning. She's
they buried
okay. So that's in somebody in Debbie Cox's family there that's passed away, died this week. So keep that family in your prayers there. And we rejoiced in the fact that Pauline, the cook, was able to be with us Friday night. And now I think we told you last week that she's now on oxygen, and she does have is that 2-hour thing that she has? That lasts 2 hours? And so, boy, it should last 2 hours and a half. If we could get that thing up a little bit, she could come and be with us. But she's not feeling well this morning, and that's the reason she's not here this morning. So, but we was glad that she was able to be with us Friday night and had a good time. And who else is on here? So look on your prayer list there and remember those folks that are on our prayer list. Now, I notice, Donnie, you have back on our prayer list Billy Sam Penn. I haven't seen him for some time. When I was up to the hospital last week or so, I stopped by the book plant over there, and there was a fella coming toward the office, and I just pulled up beside him, and I said, Billy Penn here? And he said, no. I said, well, you see Billy Penn today? He said, well, he said, I might. I said, you tell him the preacher's looking for him. And so I saw, He's out and going and so forth, but I happen to notice that he's been off of it, hasn't he? Or you just put him back on news?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, okay. Okay, thank you for sharing with us that. All right. So each and every one is important, keeping your prayers. And listen, tonight we're going to be talking. Where's Angela back there? Angela's back there. We're going to be talking about prayer. The last couple sessions we've had is talked about prayer. Now, I'm not saying I know all about prayer, but if you want to better your prayer life, if you'll come tonight, it'll be beneficial for you, because we're going to talk about prayer and what Jesus said a little bit. I hope you could come if you want to enhance your prayer life a little bit. I think it will be beneficial to you. But pray for these people, and certainly. Those who have lost loved ones, pray for our nation, all the turmoil that's taken place in our nation. Boy, it just seems like week after week after week we keep hearing, evil is at work. You just have to admit, folks, the devil is still at work there. Evil is taking place, And we just need to bind him in our prayers and pray for those people that who are affected by it. And those in the care homes, I'm so thankful we have good places to care for people who can't care for themselves. And pray for those who operate those places. Pray for those who care for those people there that are fastened in and can't get out, or that are confined there. You never know when we may be there, and we want to have people that cares for us in a gentle, good and gentle way. But certainly, guys, prayer is so important. And you know, prayer is a command. God says, and that's a command for his people to pray. And God wants to hear from you, and God wants to know your concerns, and God really works in a wonderful way for people, for a praying people. I'm glad our church is such a praying church. Boy, I mean, I experienced that in my life over the years. I'm so glad. And you people have too. And so just keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. And pray for the nation. Boy, the leaders and such of the nation. Pray for one another. Pray for this church that it can be a bright spot here in this community. People could come to know Jesus through it. We're so thankful that we have some people. Ron and Tina's not here this morning. They're over to Petersburg this morning and over to one of our sister churches over there, I think it is. And there's a lady over there, an aged lady, getting baptized this morning. And so they have connections with her, and that's why they're not here. And so that's a blessing. That's a praise there. Good things are happening, and we just pray that good things will keep on happening. If we keep looking to God, they will. That's for sure. Amen. As we come to our prayer time, so much to be thankful for.
Our prayer hymn this morning, we'll be using 240, sing the first and third verse, and Jerry will have a prayer this whole time. Imitation hymn would be number 299. This time the choir will bring a special.
Without you, I would be drifting.
Thank you, Kathleen and choir. Always enjoy your specials. We appreciate your extra effort that you do and different times that you go to extra effort to bless us. And we thank you for that. Daniel chapter 1. We're probably going to, I'm not too sure, but I had for next week, you know, the results of Daniel's decision. But I might bypass that. We might be talking about starting our walk to Calvary. We only have two or three more weeks, and so I'm going to take another look, and we may pause from Daniel and get back in this series later. But just however the Spirit moves me, I guess, we may have one more message out of Daniel next week. We'll have to see how it goes. But Daniel chapter 1. And I want to read from verse 8 to 16, I believe it is. This morning, we're not going to get very far in this, but here's what it says. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord, the king whom hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your face worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head. He'll chop my head off. Then said Daniel to Melzar, who the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Messiah, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our contentance be looked upon before thee, and the contentance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servant. You be the judge. So he consented to them in this matter, and he proved to him 10 days. I'm going to stop there because we're not going to get any further than that. That's for sure. In fact, we're only going to get to verse 8. Daniel's decision. Now, as we begin here and we look at that verse there, we're reminded, you know, that Daniel purposed in his heart. Now, why is Daniel here and what's he purposed in his heart? What's taking place? Well, we got to back up and review a little bit that we've been talking about the last few weeks, you know. You remember that Judah had sinned. That all through the 360 some years now, we've had 20 people on the throne of Judah, 19 kings and then queen mother. And only six of them really were good kings. And rest did evil in the sight of God, it says. Well, there was, maybe you could count a little more than that, because there was Joash and Amaziah. They were kind of like Solomon. Half of their reign was good and the other half was bad. And so you could give them a little bit of credit. But, you know, the real encouraging, if there's an encouraging part to that, is that all the bad kings that reigned, well, there was only 120 some years that they reigned. And just a few, a handful of good kings, they reigned 200 some years. And so When we think about it, it's not as blighty as it looks. But Judah had disobeyed God. They had turned away from God. They had served idols. They hadn't completely turned away from God. And I look at America that way. I believe America has turned away from God. But I don't believe it has completely turned away from God. Because like Judah, if they had a completely turned away from God, they probably wouldn't have had an opportunity to come back to God. Because, God says at a certain point, that's enough. And whew, he's done. A nation, God is done with. So it makes me believe that Judah, even though they had turned away from God, sinned, they hadn't completely turned away. And that's what I believe about our nation. I believe about the church. I believe the church. And you remember what I told you about when I say the church. There's a difference between thee and this. When the church, I believe the church has somewhat turned away from God. But I'm so glad it hasn't completely turned away. Because there's hope. There's hope. God had brought Judah under the captivity of Nebuchadnezzar, the Roman Empire. Right now at verse 8, I told you, the first chapter is actually an outline to the whole book. So at verse 8 now, we're already past the taking over of Jerusalem. And the young men been taken then to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar now is in control. He's king. He is king. He is the most powerful king in the known world then. He's defeated Egypt, who was strong. And Assyria. And he stands now as the greatest power there is. Nebuchadnezzar. His dad's died, you remember? His dad died. And now he is there. And he gets these young men. And he wants them to go into school of the Chaldeans. And be trained for 3 years in the culture of Babylon, in the ways of Babylon, so that they can then be part of the court, be part of his kingdom. And there's great reasons for that. You see, he took those from Jerusalem. Actually, it's from Israel, but mainly from Jerusalem, those young men. He puts them in his court. He's pretty sharp. Now he figures if he's got these Jerusalem Jews, and later he's going to bring thousands of them out of Jerusalem, out of Israel. So if he has these young men and trains them in their way, he then will be able to use them, and the people that comes in, the thousands that comes in, will listen to them, and he'll be able to rule them easier. That's his thinking. He just doesn't know how great our God is, does he? Now, as we look here, as they come and they are registered, I'm looking at the day they got there. I believe possibly that's what verse 8 is. They have just gotten there and they're registering. And in the process, they change their names. And so forth, and told them then they're going to be here for 3 years. And so there they are. They are registering. Now, as I look in the book, I don't think that Daniel and his three friends, it didn't bother them so much that they changed their name, you see. I believe that because, they knew whose they were. The old saying, you can take a boy out of the country, can't take the country out of the boy. So I'm looking at Daniel and these three friends especially, took them out of Jerusalem. These Jewish boys, brought up in the Jewish customs, livelihood and culture, they take them and put them in Babylon. And they don't care about the name. They'll take the school. You know, it'd be good for them to go through the process of school. Because why? If they're going to live there, they're going to be under captivity. And I don't know whether Daniel realizes it now or not. Probably does. They're going to be there 70 years. And regardless of the length of time, Daniel and them, Daniel probably knows because he's heard the prophecy. Jeremiah has cried and cried to him. Ezekiel said, 70 years you're going to be under the captivity. So, okay, if we're going to be here 70 years, let's go to school then for 3 years. No big deal. Let's learn the culture. Let's learn the ways. Hey, if we know how they live, we can live, you know, among them and so forth. We know how to deal with them. So that's not a big problem. I don't think them changing the name, I don't think going to school was a big problem at all. But then, it's been a full day. And they didn't bring just four. They brought a whole bunch. So we got school's first day. We're registering. We're getting ready to go to school. And the days lingered on. Everything's cool. Come supper time. And a problem arises. Now, Fanny Hess says, we're going to have a good supper. We're going to have the choices of meats. We're going to eat what the king eats. And we're going to have the choices of wine that he drinks. And Daniel says, no. Daniel didn't throw a fit. He didn't go out and start turning over chariots and setting them on fire, throwing rocks through the store windows. He simply said, no, we can't eat at the king's table. And I don't want to defile myself. And he makes a suggestion to do something else. And so the Chaldean eunuch says, boy, this is not good. This could bring harm to me. Because if you just eat vegetables, and that's what that word is, vegetables there, what grows from the seed, if you just eat that, and then we go before the king, and he sees that you're not as fair looking and as strong as the others, he's going to ask, why aren't these men same as the other? And I can't lie to the king. I have to tell him. You know, I'm honest with the king. That's the way people ought to do with their leaders. They ought to be honest with their leaders. They ought to be honest with their boss. They ought to be honest with their family. He said, I'll have to tell him that you didn't eat of the meat or drink of the wine, and he'll have my head. Now later in the story, and later on in the series, we'll see that God, you know, how Daniel had a compassion for that man. But nevertheless, he said, no, this can't happen. Okay, Daniel had a decision to make. Daniel there at that time, he had to make a decision. He was tempted there. Right at that, I mean, you can see there, he's signed, he's registered, and they're going to go to the chow line, and he stops. He had to make a decision. It was an important decision there for him. What's he going to do? Now consider now, Babylon. Most powerful ruler. Now, I wish I had time, and I hope sometime that you would read about, you know, Babylon wasn't a cool place. Some people say it was a cool place. You know, other than what the Bible has to say against Babylon, history doesn't. The Bible speaks about Babylon and its evilness, but history talks about the greatness of Babel. It was a city like no others. Jehoiada, the father of Nebuchadnezzar, had started to build there. And you visualize, here's these young men, and they're in a city that they have never seen anything like it before. The walls is 100 some feet high, 90 feet thick, and it's got built, got a street 40 foot wide, a river runs through it. They have in those, that 40 foot wide street, the reason for that is they have parades there often for the king, and even prayed their god down that avenue. But they have a parade that's probably might even set Macy's parade back a little. Glorious thing. Gardens, one of the seven wonders, terraces of flowers, animals roaming in there, watered from that river with hydraulic pumps. Hey, these boys ain't seen a city like that. Jerusalem didn't have anything like that. As wonderful as Jerusalem was, and Jerusalem's the holy city, had a spectacular temple, didn't have what Babylon has. And these boys weren't used to eating from the king's table either. They were from royalty. These four were from royalty. But they didn't have, the king's meat every night, I don't think. So think about that. Teenage boys. And Daniel has to make a decision. Shall he join in? Shall he join in and partake and so forth and keep cool? You know, they haven't seen or experienced that. And I can understand, you know, young people, boy, when they go someplace and these spectacular things taking place, and boy, I haven't seen nothing like that. They might be a part of that. They might want to be a part of that. So he had to make a decision. I don't think it was a tough decision after I read the rest of the book. But they were tempted. They were tempted. There's no doubt in my mind. I hope that I get to heaven. I hope I meet Daniel there. And I'm going to say, Daniel, how strong was the temptation there? You know, I possibly think it was drawn there somewhat. You know, temptation is an enticement, an alluring thing. To be tempted is, of course, when we talk about temptation, enticing and alluring, we think about the evil things, you know, when we talk about temptation. And look at the evil that people are tempted to enter into. And especially our young people today has such temptations. And they come against them so powerfully. You know, boys and girls, and I probably already mentioned this, boys and girls go off to college and they'll do things they don't do at home. Men and women go over on foreign lands and serve in the service of our country, and they're tempted to do things they wouldn't do at home. Temptation is there. Decisions got to be made. Here's something that people, I think, forget, that I don't believe Daniel ever forgot. I believe that often people forget about God, that people forget that Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is omnipresent. Always there. Always there. He's not only omnipresent, he's omniscient. He knows everything that's going on. Now, I think probably it's easy for our young people, and elderly ones lie, to forget that. When they're in the crowd at college, and everybody's cheering and going to having a good time, and they're at the party, and everybody's dancing, and Everybody's having a good time, and somebody says, tempts them with something. It's hard, hard. Temptation is strong. People forget God is there. I'm glad to know that, aren't you, that God is always there. God knows what's going on, and God knows about all everything. Temptations will come. Temptations will come to you. Even to faithful Kim there. Temptations comes. We just need to be equipped and be prepared to deal with them when they come. I believe Daniel was tempted, but I believe Daniel was equipped to deal with the temptation, and he made a decision here. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, Thou hast not. How's it go here? I'll get it going. You know, isn't it over? I know of verses, and I can speak them. I can lay down at night and say them. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Thou hast no temptation taken you that is not known by man, that is not common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you farther than you're able to withstand. But with that temptation also give you or make a way for you to escape that you will be able to bend. Now, I know that verse, and I'm ashamed when I can't just spit it out. But I wish that we would all be able to say that verse. There is no temptation taken you that is not known of common to man. But God is faithful. He'll not suffer you to a temptation beyond what you can stand. That he will make a way for you to escape. We ought to, every one of us, have that planted in our heart. See? So yea, I believe Daniel stood that way. Temptations comes to everyone. Jesus was tempted. You know the greatest, there is temptations, then there is great temptations. And you know the greatest temptation of Jesus? I believe. The greatest temptation of Jesus was there in a garden of Gethsemane. When he knelt and prayed, Father, if there be any other way, take this cup from me. Jesus was tempted to bypass the cross. He came to seek and to save sinners, and he said that. He told them that he was going to die. But when he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was a temptation. Aren't you glad that he didn't yield to that temptation? Amen. Daniel and the other young men taken to Babylon might have thought it was, reasonable to yield to the temptation, to the culture, to the livelihood there. It would have been very tempting just to go with the flow, stay cool, go with the flow, no riffles. Hey, they're 900 miles away from home. Who would know anyhow? What's that old saying? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? That's not always true, is it? No. Hey, God knows what's going on. He knows what happened behind the green door. You remember that one, do you? Yeah, he knows. They could have. Hey, that's a long journey. There's not people going to come up here and check on Daniel. News is not going to get that. They're just talking about these young men up there. Who would know? And they were tempted. But Daniel purposed. Listen to that. He purposed in his heart. Even though the lights of the big city, the banquet table of the king, David had resolved that he had intentionally placed in his mind and planted in his heart. That's what that purpose is. He intentionally placed in his mind, planted in his heart, I'm not going to defile myself before Almighty God. Listen, young people, listen to me. There's people in your school. There's people in your workforce. They want to put things in your mind contrary to what God wants for you. You need to be like Daniel. We need to be like Daniel. We need to put in our mind and plant in our heart, we're not going to defile before God. That's Daniel. This word purpose is strong. He determined, he resolved. Nothing's going to keep him from keeping what he's committed to do. He's not going to defile himself. What is it? Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, brothers, by the mercy of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your, what? Mind. To that which is good. Of the will of God. Put in your mind. Plan in your heart. Daniel made that decision. Daniel had to make a decision, and he decided he was not going to eat from the king's table. Here's the reason. Because it was dedicated, sacrificed to a pagan god. You know what? You are judged by the company you keep. Hey, if you put on a... Where's Dudley? You put on a black jacket and get on your motorcycle and pull up there beside the king's, the Hell's Angel, and somebody drives along and they see you in the crowd. They say, he's a Hell's Angel. The company you keep says a lot about your character. And Daniel says, I'm not going to defile myself before God. I'm not going to serve Murdoch. You know, if we eat together, you know, when we come in here Friday night, I mean, that room was full and we was all in there, you know, and anybody come by and see your car out there, they'd say, boy, they're a part of that group up there. They think like them. They live like them. They party like them. They serve God like them. That's what would happen. Daniel had in his mind what would happen. If he took up the king's table, he would be eating with the king. He would be saying, I'm accepting your way. I'm going to live your way. I'm going to serve your God. Almost like Ruth. You know, Ruth made a good confession one time. She told Naomi, your God's going to be my God. I'm going to go with you. Where are you going? And all that teaches that. The company you keep, you're judged by. Young fellows, that's a good thing to remember. The company you keep, you'll be judged by. Let's remember Nebuchadnezzar is a pagan god. Nebuchadnezzar is not one who serves God or feared God. He didn't honor Jehovah God in any way. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah had been raised to honor and to serve Jehovah God. These Jewish young men served God, the God of their fathers. And Daniel made the decision not to defile himself. I believe that Daniel had made that decision in Jerusalem. Some of you folks here and some of you young folks have done it recently. You came right here. You made a decision. You committed to God. And you need to remember that. Wherever, see, Daniel, I think what Daniel said, wherever I go, whatever I do, I'm not going to defile myself because I belong to God. Now, Daniel and his friends could have went with the flow. Or they could have took control of their lives. Do you know the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat? We have on our back deck a thermometer. And then I didn't look at it this morning, but if I'd looked at it this morning, it might have said 30, 40 degrees. Before we left, it was probably up 50 something. But what I'm saying, that thermometer hangs back there, and wherever the sun, whatever happens in the weather out there, it goes with the flow. Goes with the flow. But in our living room, we have a thermostat. And it doesn't go with the flow. I control that. I turn that up and I turn that down. Whatever I want in there, I can control. That thermometer out there goes with the flow. Daniel goes with the flow. He's a thermostat. Keep studying about Daniel and you see where he controls what's wrong. If you will take in your mind and plant in your heart, you won't have any trouble with the thermostat. You'll always be you won't have a trouble with the thermometer. You'll always be a thermostat. Let us sing. Follow Jesus and love. Follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house. Isn't it great to be with good people like you guys who love the Lord and want Him to do those good things for you? I know He's going to do good things for you this week because you've been here seeking His way. Michael, would you ask God's blessing on our good people as we leave?
Our dear Heavenly, precious Father, we thank You for this time that we have to worship You, to listen to Your word. We thank You for Daniel and for his faithfulness and for purposing in our hearts to follow Your word. That please give us a purpose in our hearts to live as Christ did here on this earth. Please help us to not go with the flow. We ask that You please bring us back here again next Sunday to worship You again. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a great day, folks.